I've come in a series of programs to the beginning of the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, where John projected forward into the time way beyond us now in world conditions. Sees, first of all, in a few chapters, the great tribulation, the heavenly signs, the day of the Lord, the many seals with which this mysterious book was sealed. But now, in the 21st chapter, verse 1, he sees in this vision the time of which I am speaking, a time of absolute global world peace. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, I'll have to explain that in greater detail next time, but notice, you read in Acts the 3rd chapter in verse 21 that Jesus was assumed up into the heavens until the time of restitution of all things. Now, what do you see when you look out into the heavens today? You don't see a new heaven, do you? No, astronomers are learning continually how old it all is. Basically, they try to tell us that the world is about 4.5 billion years of age, and I take no issue with that because I believe the Bible very easily allows for the world to be 4.5 billion, 10.5 billion, or 16 trillion years of age. It makes no real difference. There's a completely indeterminate period of time that is not specified between the time of a perfect, early, flawless creation. Then a great Star Wars in which a huge battle, a conflagration unimaginable in scope, occurred between Lucifer, one of the former three archangels, and God Almighty. When Lucifer, with his third of the angels, tried to overthrow the government of God, and the wreckage of the universe as we know it was the result. Now what do you see when you look up into the heavens? Wreckage, garbage, junk. You see space junk. You see the lifeless, pockmarked hulks of uninhabited, gaseous, uninviting planetary bodies upon which no life exists. Oh, for years, especially back in the Middle Ages, and even on as recently as in the early 1920s, people were still speculating, and they could be driven out in the streets in fear with a sensational Orson Welles broadcast in the 30s. The Martians are coming, the Martians are coming. People believed there was life up there. But the more they investigate, and the more we have space probes, and the more photographs and landings of actual hardware on distant planets come back, the more it reconfirms what we know by looking at the Bible and what we know by looking through our telescopes. That what is out there is very, very old, wasted, destroyed, bleak, hostile, inhospitable, not compatible for life. And yet you see here in chapter 21 and verse 1, a new heaven and a new earth, and the Bible says that Christ has been assumed up into the heavens until the time of restitution. That's the restoring, the rehabilitation, the recreation, rebuilding of all things. You know, the Bible says even the heavens are going to be changed, that not only will there be a new earth, but even the planets and the very heavens are going to be altered by Almighty God. It says, the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, you will read of that time when eventually no more human life, life as we know it, fleshly, temporal life, depending upon the ecosystem to survive, chemical, physical existence based upon the pumping of a bloodstream through physical cells and flesh and tissue, kept alive by water, oxygen, and food, no longer will that form of life anywhere inhabit the entirety of the universe. Now, the only life which will inhabit the universe will be spirit life, life on an infinitely higher plane than the life that we see with our five senses, that we understand and know with our minds and our physical bodies. But now, only God life, and of course, satanic, rebellious, demonic life, spirit life, will exist in that time. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, talks of a time when all of the elements of this earth will melt, when everything will be completely changed, when the ecosystem we require, because we are food-eating, air-breathing, water-drinking, chemical human beings, and at that time there will be no life form that we know as material or fleshly. The only form of life then will be a much higher form of life, which will have solved the problem of aging, of travel through space, which will be superbly and supremely intelligent with X-ray vision, with instantaneous energy and capacity for travel here and there. In short, spiritual life, the kind of life that Almighty God has, the kind of life that Jesus Christ had when he put out his foot and stepped through solid stone and was resurrected from the tomb. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. The sea, which provides man with a great deal of his oxygen, a tremendous amount of his foodstuffs, and which provides all, basically, of world weather. The ocean currents that are regulated very carefully by the precision mechanism of the tilt and the wobble of the earth, the daily rotation of the earth upon its axis, its exact situation, a certain finite, definitive number of miles from the sun, the exact position of the moon that causes the tides and the ocean currents, the Humboldt current, the Japanese current, the currents that provide, for example, along the Canadian coastline and the northwestern United States coast, hospitable climate, where otherwise, if it were not for the Japanese current, there would virtually be uninhabitable wastes in that area of the earth. The warming currents that bring fresh ocean breezes and multitudinous amounts of fish and wildlife, or in this case, sea life, for the good of man. The earth is basically controlled, in a sense, by the oceans. The bulk of the surface of the earth is covered by water. But here is a prediction that eventually there will be no more sea. If we were to study the effects that the oceans of the earth have upon us, how much they affect human life, we would be enormously impressed. And yet men are still learning about the sea, about the ocean. There is still a great deal we do not know about the ocean. But there is a time coming, it says here, when there will be no more sea. Now, this is well on into the future. This is so far into the future, it is at least 1,000 years ahead of us now, and probably a good bit beyond that. So it's not of any immediate concern to us right now today, is it? It's of immediate concern only that we understand the plan and the purpose of God, and that we make sure that we have accepted the only way out that Almighty God gives us with regard to this human life. The end of your human life is approaching every day that you live, whether you're 3 or whether you're 30 or whether you're 90. And eventually it will all be over. So the big thing you need to be concerned about is what happens next when you die. Not 1,000 years from now. So this is of passing interest, but it's good to understand the entirety of the purpose and the plan of God. Now in verse 2, I, John, saw the holy city from Jerusalem coming down, and it's called New Jerusalem. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now you know, some people are so stupid that they honestly believe there is going to be a banquet up in heaven. You talk about someone whose brain has just about completely given out. You know, the Bible shows the picture of 144,000. It talks about an innumerable multitude. Have you ever been to a banquet? You ever walked into the kitchen of a big restaurant? Are you a practical person, or are you one of these people that comes in off the street and tries to tell me he's been with the Lord for the last 1,000 years? I'm just kidding. I don't want to make anybody mad, but I mean, I like to be practical, pragmatic, you know. In the first place, spirit beings do not need to eat food. Now, I suppose that there are some people who are so cross-eyed and scatter-dazed and so off in the upper story that they actually wonder whether or not there's going to be a banquet of manna or a banquet of heavenly grape juice or whatever. I don't know what they imagine. But if you can imagine taking some of these analogies, and that's all they are, an analogy, so that we can understand a great, a wondrous, a joyous, a fabulous occasion, the occasion of being born of God, of becoming a spirit being, of welcoming Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and that whole process of changing human to divine, physical to spiritual, mortal to immortal, outlined in 1 Corinthians 15, is likened unto a fabulous wedding supper. Now, the other night I went to a wedding supper, a meal, a very fine feast, celebrating a wedding. And it was a really fine occasion. And by that I can understand, even if Jesus lent his own stamp of approval to the wedding supper in Cana of Galilee when his very first miracle of changing water into wine occurred, and Jesus was there, probably with members of the family. The fact that Mary told him about the wine showed that she had some part of the occasion. She might have even been in charge of it. It might have been one of his sisters. It might have been one of Mary's other children. Who knows? But in any event, it is an analogy. A very glittering, wonderful banquet or a supper. It doesn't mean spirit beings are going to sit down at tables 16,947 miles long by 5 feet wide with angels on roller skates to serve them all the hors d'oeuvres, for pity's sake. It is an analogy. And it's talking about a great, wondrous experience of great joy of being born of God. Now, if you want to turn to and read, and I'll come to it next time in Zechariah, the 8th chapter, about the picture of New Jerusalem. Old men and old women dwelling in the streets of Jerusalem, every man with his staff in his hand for very age, in the streets of the city full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. That's in the 8th chapter of Zechariah. And there is a picture here of a time of 1,000 years of peace for the world capital of Jerusalem, and then eventually New Jerusalem, this coming from heaven, from God, like a bride. Now that's an analogy, prepared like a bride is prepared for a wedding. Not saints going up to heaven, but Christ coming back down to this earth.